Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the August 2024 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin with RF Current, news from the world of communications by Ken Reitz, KS4CR. University students use lasers in satellite communications test. A press release July 16th from the International Center for Radio Astronomy Research, ICRAR, noted that the University of Western Australia's TerraNet, a network of optical ground stations specializing in high-speed space communications, has successfully received laser signals from a German satellite in low Earth orbit. This breakthrough paves the way for a 1,000-fold increase in communication bandwidth between space and Earth. The TerraNet team, led by Associate Professor Sasha Shadivi from the UWA node at ICRAR, received laser signals from OSIRIS-V1, a laser communication payload from the Institute of Communications and Navigation of the German Aerospace Center, DLR. OSIRIS-V1 is installed on University of Stuttgart's Flying Laptop Satellite. The signals were detected using two of the TerraNet optical ground stations during flybys of the satellite. The press release noted, however, the downside is that laser signals can be interrupted by clouds and rain. The TerraNet team is mitigating this downside by establishing a network of three ground stations spread across Western Australia. This means that if it's cloudy at one ground station site, the satellite can download its data at another site with clear skies. In addition, one of the two TerraNet ground stations that receive the satellite laser signal is built on the back of a custom-built Jeep truck. This means it can be rapidly deployed to sites that need ultra-fast space communications, such as remote communities where traditional communications links have been cut off due to natural disasters. China ranks number 5 in VPN demand. According to a February 15th report on Voice of America, citing data from the IT education news outlet Techopedia, China's virtual private network VPN usage nearly doubled during 2022, despite the Chinese government's strict regime of internet controls of everything from overseas websites to online games. According to Techopedia, China ranked 5th in the world in VPN demand, behind Turkmenistan, Ethiopia, Iran, Myanmar. FCC and SCOTUS Chevron Doctrine ruling. On June 28th, the U.S. Supreme Court overruled a previous ruling referred to as the Chevron Doctrine, in which, the decision notes, courts have sometimes been required to defer to permissible agency interpretations of the statutes those agencies administer, even when a reviewing court reads the statute differently. The FCC is an agency that often uses its administrative power to levy fines against businesses and individuals, often amounting to millions, even hundreds of millions of dollars. What might overturning the Chevron Doctrine do to the FCC's power in this regard? According to David Oxenford, a partner at Wilkinson Barker Knauer LLP, who has represented broadcasters for over 30 years, writing July 2nd on broadcastlawblog.com, "While certainly last week's decision gives challengers to agency decisions more ammunition to use in bringing such challenges, and likely will cause the federal courts to be flooded with more challenges generally, the decision will not end the authority of administrative agencies to adopt rules affecting businesses, nor will it bring about any immediate change in rules adopted by the FCC on complex issues affecting broadcasters, like the local radio and television ownership rules. Oxenford concludes, "The bottom line is that the abolition of the Chevron doctrine will likely increase the frequency of agency decisions being overturned by court decisions. But courts have not in the past hesitated to find agency decisions arbitrary or unreasonable, so the difference may be at the margins. However, don't look for agencies to stop regulating or for Congress to stop delegating decision-making to these agencies, as the subjects overseen by the federal government are simply too complex for all details of every congressional action to be specified in legislation. Agencies are still needed to provide the expert analysis, but they will have to do so while subject to more judicial scrutiny in the future." NAB challenges FCC's ownership rules in court. On July 16th, the National Association of Broadcasters, NAB, the broadcast industry's largest trade group, announced that it had filed a brief in its challenge to the FCC's local radio and television ownership restrictions. In a statement, NAB President and CEO Curtis Legate said, "It is long past time for the FCC to modernize its broadcast ownership rules. These are relics from a bygone era, created before the internet, smartphones, social media, and streaming." NAB's brief succinctly demonstrates to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit that the FCC has failed to justify that these rules remain necessary to serve the public in light of the immense competition broadcasters face in today's media marketplace. FCC sweeps New York again for FM pirates. In a press release from July 11th, the FCC's Enforcement Bureau issued warnings to 13 landowners in the New York metropolitan area for apparently allowing illegal radio broadcasting from their properties. The targets of these warnings were told they could face fines up to nearly $2.4 million if the FCC determines that a party continues to permit any individual or entity to engage in pirate radio broadcasting from any property that they own or manage. The press release said that notices of illegal pirate radio broadcasting were sent to target properties identified by field agents as sources of pirate radio transmissions in Manhattan, Brooklyn, the Bronx, and Spring Valley, New York, and in Newark and Irvington, New Jersey. These notices formally notify landowners of the illegal broadcasting activity occurring on their property, inform landowners of their potential liability for continuing to permit such activity to occur on their property, demand proof that the illegal broadcasting has ceased on the property, and request identification of the individuals engaged in the illegal broadcasting. FCC report: AT&T outage prevented 92 million voice calls and 25,000 911 calls. In a 10-page report released July 22nd, the FCC detailed a critical service outage from AT&T mobility-served wireless devices. The report stated, "On Thursday, February 22, 2024, at 2:45 a.m. Central Standard Time, AT&T Mobility LLC, AT&T Mobility, experienced a nationwide wireless service outage that lasted at least 12 hours. The outage affected users in all 50 states, as well as Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Based on information provided by AT&T Mobility, all voice and 5G data services for all users of AT&T Mobility were unavailable as a result of the outage, affecting more than 125 million registered devices, blocking more than 92 million voice calls, and preventing more than 25,000 calls to public safety answering points, PSAPs, or 911 call centers. The outage also cut off service to the devices operated by public safety users of the First Responder Network Authority, FirstNet. Voice and 5G data services were also unavailable to users from mobile virtual network operators, MVNOs, and other wireless customers who were roaming on AT&T Mobility's network. The report noted that AT&T Mobility implemented a network change with an equipment configuration error on Thursday, February 22, 2024, at 2:42 a.m. Just 3 minutes later, the nationwide outage began. Once implemented, this configuration error caused the AT&T Mobility network to enter protect mode to prevent impact to other services, disconnecting all devices from the network and prompting a loss of voice and 5G data service for all wireless users. It took close to 2 hours to roll back the network change. Full service restoration, however, took at least 12 hours because AT&T Mobility's device registration systems were overwhelmed with the high volume of requests for re-registration onto the network. The report concludes, since the outage, AT&T has taken numerous steps to prevent a reoccurrence. Within 48 hours of the outage, AT&T implemented additional technical controls in its network. This included scanning the network for any network elements lacking the controls that would have prevented the outage, and promptly putting those controls in place. AT&T has engaged in ongoing forensic work and implemented additional enhancements to promote network robustness and resilience. In addition, post-outage, AT&T has implemented additional steps for peer review and adopted procedures to ensure that maintenance work cannot take place without confirmation that required peer reviews have been completed. More steps are recommended by the FCC in the report, and the matter has been handed to the Enforcement Bureau for potential violations of FCC rules. And now the Shortwave Listener by Fred Waterer, programming_matters@yahoo.ca. Olympics, proms, and BBC Summer Radio Fair on Shortwave. Welcome to the August edition of the Shortwave Listener. We have lots of information this month on upcoming programming from Europe and North America, from the BBC, Voice of America, WRMI, and others. This month, we have both a sporting and a classical music theme, as the Paris Olympics open, as well as the BBC proms, billed as the world's greatest classical music festival. Late summer is always a favorite time to scan the bands here at Casa Fred, as it takes me back to the summer of 1978. In the hot, humid day, I turned on a radio and discovered I was listening to Bulgaria in English. It's been a wild ride ever since. Let's have a look at just some of the programming on offer this month. WRMI. WRMI is Radio Miami International, broadcasting from the old WYFR transmitters. The programming in 2024 is far more varied than it once was, when Harold Camping's voice was ubiquitous. There is a wide variety of international state broadcasters and private sector broadcasters featuring religious, political, and musical themes. Take music. On any given day, one can hear gospel, blues, country, alternative, polka, jazz, and, of course, good old classic rock. There is classical music on WRMI in the form of Encore, a program originating in the UK and heard on WRMI in Channel 292, Rohrbach, Germany. More on them later. Encore can be heard on the following times and frequencies. 0200-0300 UTC, Friday, 5850 kHz, WRMI 2 US. 2000-2100 UTC, Friday, 15,770 kHz, WRMI to Europe. 1000-1100 UTC, Saturday, 9,670 kHz, Channel 292 to Europe. 0100-0200 UTC, Sunday, 5,850 kHz, WRMI to U.S. and Canada. 1900-2000 UTC, Sunday, 3,955 kHz, Channel 292 to Europe. 0200 to 0300 UTC Monday, 5950 kHz, WRMI to the U.S. and Canada. 1300 to 1400 UTC Tuesday, 15,770 kHz, WRMI to Europe, east coast of U.S. and Iceland. Some things to see on the Encore website. The Encore website is Tumbril, that's T-U-M-B-R-I-L, .co.uk, where you will find important information about funding of Encore in Radio Tumbril, up-to-date transmission times and frequencies, the playlists for the most recent broadcasts, and contact links. Informal reception reports, as well as those requesting EQSL cards, are welcome. If you can, please send a small contribution to help Encore keep going. Typical of the programming one can hear is this sample playlist, heard on Friday, July 12th, on WRMI at 0200 UTC on 5850, also at 2000 UTC on 15770, and then channel 292 on Saturday, July 13th, at 1000 UTC on 9670 kHz. The program started with the overture from The Barber of Seville by Rossini. After that, part of a cello sonata by Martinu and a piano piece from contemporary composer Carolyn Shaw were heard. A Mass for Five Voices by Byrd, part of a Haydn symphony, No. 84 in E-flat major, and a Bach partita were next. The program ended with a third movement from the octet in C major by Romanian composer Enescu. Bryce Avery is the host and founder of Encore in Radio Tumbril. His website is tumbril.co.uk. Mr. Avery is doing his best to keep classical music programming alive on the international shortwave bands. It's a lovely program. Drop him and other broadcasters a note to let them know you listen and appreciate their efforts. Anyone who puts the kind of work in to provide us with quality entertainment deserves our encouragement and a pat on the back. The Proms. Speaking of classical music, from late July to early September, the BBC has the Proms, short for Promenade Concerts, which are billed as the world's greatest classical music festival, featuring 90 concerts in 58 days. They can all be heard on BBC Radio 3, which focuses on this genre of music and is a very nice listen anytime. Some excerpts of the Proms are often heard on the World Service, especially the dramatic finale in September. Stay tuned, more on this next month. The Henry Norman Show. Every Saturday, Henry Norman presents his 30-minute music show on WRMI with his mix of oldies, newer songs, and country music. There is also information about the artists. The program starts at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in North America, currently 2230 UTC, on 9,955 kHz. EQSLs are available at henrynormanshow@gmail.com. Miss the program? Always listen shortly after the broadcast at Deezer, that's Deezer.com. From the Isle of Music. On August 10th, 2024, we will feature music that was recognized in the current dance music category of Cuba Disco 2024. Times and frequencies are 1700 to 1800 UTC, 9670 kHz, with beam towards South Asia. 1900 to 2000 UTC, 3955 and 6070 kHz, omnidirectional for Europe and beyond. 2300 to 2400 UTC, 3955 kHz, omnidirectional for Europe and beyond. All transmissions from channel 292, Rohrbach, Germany. Uncle Bill's Melting Pot. On August 17th, special guest Dariana Antipova, who curates the Russian World Music Chart and is a member of the Trans Global World Music Chart, will share and talk about some recent music from Russia. Times and frequencies, note new schedule, are 1700 to 1800 UTC, 9670 kHz, with beam towards South Asia, 1900 to 2000 UTC, 3955 and 6070 kHz, omnidirectional for Europe and beyond. 2300 to 2400 will be on 9670 kHz with a booster towards Central America and the Caribbean. It should be audible in parts of North and South America. All transmissions from channel 292, Rohrbach, Germany. For both programs, even if you are listening on a remote web SDR rather than a radio, we will still acknowledge reception reports with an EQSL if the entire program is listened to and reported, which web SDR is clearly specified that will be mentioned on the EQSL. Shorter reports will be acknowledged with a brief note of thanks. William Bill Tilford, owner and producer, email bill at tilfordproductions, that's T-I-L-F-O-R-D productions.com. Website tilfordproductions.com. Texas Radio Shortwave. TRSW can be heard on the following schedule. August 3rd, 1900, on 3,955 kHz, Texas Music A to Z, Hour 2, Artists. August 4th, 1,200, on 9,670 kHz, Texas Music A to Z, Hour 2, Artists. Like the programming from Tilford Productions, these programs originate in Rohrbach, Germany, and in North America will probably require a web SDR to hear. Paris 2024 Olympic Games on the BBC, VOA, others. For the first time since London 2012, we have an Olympic Games taking place in a European time zone, which is really exciting for UK audiences. People can tune in to live coverage morning, noon, and night, following all the biggest sporting moments as they happen. By Alex K. Jelski, director of BBC Sport. Prepare to be swept off your feet this summer with live coverage of the Paris 2024 Olympic Games across the BBC, as the world's biggest sporting event takes center stage in the City of Love. From July 26th to August 11th, the BBC is bringing people together so they can fall head over heels watching, listening to, and reading about the biggest moments at Paris 2024 as they happen across comprehensive, free-to-air, multi-platform coverage. World Service. On BBC World Service English, there'll be coverage and commentary from Paris in special editions of Sports World and Sport Today, hosted by Lee James with on-site reporters. Isaac Fannin will have reports and interviews on the Newsday program, while Sports Hour, presented by Carolyn Barker, will provide the human interest stories behind the medals. News. BBC News is covering the games for both a domestic and international audience, with News Channel, Online, and BBC World Service languages from BBC Persian, BBC Arabic, BBC Africa, BBC Mundo, and BBC Urdu, all reporting from Paris. And Newsround will be there for the younger audience. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.